Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith, episode number 7. Today we'll be talking about different foreign policy issues that have happened in the nation over the last week, particularly talking about the president and his decision to go forward with his strategy against ISIL. Then we will have a discussion in the national policy segment in the second 15-minute section, which we will actually probably do a merge segment between national and Georgia events, just because of the different things that have taken place in Georgia politics that has taken stage in the national level. So let's go ahead and jump on into foreign policy and talk about what the president had to say earlier this week. Well, we all know that President Obama, at the beginning of the week, decided he was going to give us his strategy for how he was going to deal with the Syrian rebels. The Syrian rebels, now known as ISIL, has become a thorn in the side of the United States government as it comes to foreign policy. And we have very many different opinions on how we want to look at this as a nation. Well, President Obama decided that we were going to dismantle and destroy ISIS this week. A lot of Americans are not very happy about this at this particular point in time after being in war for the last 11 years. Democrats and Republicans both have some issues with the whole idea of using air power. As a military veteran and watching how we dealt with, situations in the early 90s, air power alone, and just in my humble opinion, is not going to take care of the situation. We're going to eventually end up, as a lot of people said, it's going to be a mission creep. It's felt that it will be, not in the best interest of America to even get involved at all. But this being the 21st century and America being the only superpower, we're kind of in a position where we're going to have to deal with ISIL. Just looking at some of the things that has been said this week, Rear Admiral John Kirby said, "This is not the Iraq War of 2002," he told reporters, "but make no mistake, we are at war with ISIL in the same way we were at war and continue to be at war with Al-Qaeda and its affiliates." So basically what we got here is a continuation of the foreign policy that we've seen over the last, 12, 14 years since the 9/11 incident. Also, this was the anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attack on the Twin Towers and the Pentagon. I know I spent a very part of the morning in silence and in reverence of the situation. We had MSNBC do a coverage in which they basically went through the coverage to the Today Show on that morning. It brought back a lot of memories for me, and I know it brought back a lot of memories for everyone else. But it also reminded us as we went along in that day's news cycle that we were still at war and that it seems like we're going to be at war for a while. And I've talked about this before on numerous occasions where these conflicts in the Middle East are a lot bigger than just America. They're just bigger. They're bigger than just, Israel. These conflicts go back almost 10 centuries. You look at roughly a millennia, ISIL, and it's probably the Shiite stem from, Muslim, theology and the difference between Sunni and Shia. And then we have, blowback from the Crusades of the Middle Ages. And then we have the breakdown of the Ottoman Empire and the ending of World War I. We have a lot of different things that come into play when we're talking about dealing with the police, and I'm sometimes wondering if we as Americans have taken that into account, whether or not we are handling these situations in a way that lends us to having a or the parents that we understand history. We kind of go on a short-term foreign policy kick, and you can't blame it on Republicans or Democrats because you got to think about it. It's almost become a presidential tradition to bomb Iraq. George H. bombed them, then you had Clinton bomb them, then you had George W. bomb them, and then we got Iraq, you know, Obama bombing them. You know, who's going to stop the cycle? You know, we have a lot of different opinions out there, and if anybody has an opinion out there, you can call in at 657-383-0995, and it's 657-383-0995. I mean, if you got an opinion on the ISIL and the foreign policy, this, that, and the other, I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the developments in the Ukraine. The Ukraine situation is also another one where we have an ongoing, long-standing feud between two ethnic groups, the Ukrainians and the Russians. And, you know, for the Americans, it's like they all speak the same language, they have the same alphabet. You know, what's the difference? Well, there's a difference. You know, Ukraine and Russia is different as Texas and Mexico. I mean, it's just one of those things that we do, that we as Americans and our viewpoint are not looking at in a very in-depth way. And we have experts that are out there that kind of throw them in the same pot. And that's what we're looking at. You know, there's historical, generational, long-standing domination of the Ukraine by the Russians, all the way back from the Tsar's times till now. I mean, so you have this thing where they feel they have a right to be over in Ukraine, but at the same time, we feel that, you know, the rest of the world community feels that, you know, you have the right to self-determination, and these two things are coming into conflict. Modern idealism of how the world should operate versus tradition. Now, you know, you're going to have one win out over the other, but when you have that take place, we know there's going to be conflict. So we need to stand by and watch this situation and hope that we really can keep that can, the lid on that can, because that has a chance of sparking off to being a larger conflict than the Middle Eastern conflict does. You know, we kind of know how to keep a lid on Middle Eastern conflicts by, you know, keep it low simmering, but this could turn into a real First World War very quickly, because we're talking two modern military forces coming into contact with one another. Both have, you know, naval assets, air assets, modern ground assets, you know, satellite capability. This is not going to be a run in the desert if we get into a war with them. So we need to be very careful about the saber rattling and over in the Ukraine. Just got a lot of serious foreign policy issues when it comes to how we're dealing with, you know, and it's not, like I said again, it's not the Americans, it's, you know, by ourselves, it's the European, our European allies, our Asian allies, we've all taken this point. And when we really look at it, is it or is it not a point to the issue of how we run our global economy? Because we only seem to want to fight in places that there's either oil or gas or some type of mineral situation going on. We don't fight for the reasons in which we like to get mad about. It's like nobody ever went into Rwanda. You know, we not jumping very heavily into Nigeria, maybe because we already have control of the oil assets there already, so there's no need to. Whoever wins, we're going to control that, but let somebody take them off field. Promise you the Marine Corps will be running up in the Lagos. We don't jump into we got South America under control now. We got the Central America under control now. You know, if we was going to do anything, I mean, it just really comes to the point of what is America's role in the new 21st century, where there's only one superpower, or how long we're going to remain that old superpower. We're not going to be a superpower forever. And we really need to start looking at disengagement. It's costing us way too much money to be dealing with these situations. And it comes down to, you know, tying this into the upcoming election. You know, nobody really is talking about foreign policy. You know, nobody's sitting there talking about what our next senators and, you know, and whatnot, and congressmen that we sitting there. What are their foreign policy views? You definitely don't see it being talked about here in Georgia because David Perdue is so busy trying to paint Michelle Nunn as being an Obama liberal, and we are constantly trying to tag, you know, David Perdue for being not a part of the real world. But at the same time, we've seen that, you know, we spend a lot of money in the United States on military and foreign policy expenditures, but it has not come up in this recent election cycle. It's not really been talked about at all. I mean, nobody's paying it any attention. But it's the biggest line item in the government. And you got Republicans talking about there for smaller government, not wasting taxpayer money, but nobody's talking about foreign policy. Nobody. Because nobody knows what to do with it. Nobody's a so-called expert. And we really need to be asking these questions if we want to, you know, be able to pay for some of the stuff we want to be able to pay for and make the appropriate cuts. We need to know how these people feel when it comes to their foreign policy. So we need to really start asking these questions. Georgia, ask the question, what are your views on certain foreign policy issues? How do you feel about a war, a continuing war on terror? What do you feel about the Ukraine? You know, TTP. Oh, we don't even want to get talking about TTP. You know, trade agreements, this, that, and other. Where do you stand with those issues? We need to be asking these questions. And in the next couple of series, we hopefully can get some answers to that question. So with that being said, we're going to take a small break, and we'll be back in a moment. Okay, Down South and Dirty is back. We're going to move on now to our national segment. You know, it's real funny that Georgia really takes a liking to getting, at least the Georgia Republicans, let's put it like that. The Georgia Republicans have a liking to becoming national news and, you know, with the things that they say spilling out of their mouths. Case in point, here the last week, Georgia voter suppression or catching voter fraud or however the Republicans want to, you know, craft the message. But we as Democrats know what it is. It's truly an effort to suppress the vote. But earlier this week, DeKalb County decided they wanted to go for Sunday voting, which should have been a very, really benign situation. So there's going to be an extra day of voting. It's going to be a Sunday. Woo! Expansion of participation in the Republic. Yay. But what do we get? What we get is a Republican, Fran Millard, Republican out of DeKalb County, comes back and, you know, first he goes off about, you know, quoting, he was quoting Galloway and, you know, pointing out that the fact that there's largely African-American area. And then there are several large African-American mega churches nearby. And then they start talking about having a party at the mall and this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. And then it turns into they would rather have more educated voters than more voters. And I'm going, like, what does that mean? Educated, what's an uneducated voter? Well, you know, in my time being in politics, usually most people who take the time to get up and go out and vote, they have pretty much educated themselves and figured out, even the ones that become new voters, they want to know who they're voting for, what they're voting for. It's just not go out there, ooh, sign up, vote, this is what's going to happen. That ain't how it works. Most vote people that I know educate themselves regardless of how crazy their positions might be, speaking of my conservative brethren. It's different. You're not going to have people just go vote because you say go vote. People take that very seriously. When they do go vote, there's no such thing to me as an uneducated voter. And this low education voting and all of those stuff. I don't think even the folks that vote on the Republican side think they know their issues. So I really took offense to that as an American. I took an offense to Fran Millar and his comments. And what even got me even more tripped out was the fact that I asked my own state senator, Josh McCoon, I asked him, said, hey, Josh, what do you feel about this? And he gave me the answer and explained to me how in 2011 he supported a bill that would limit early voting to 1 week and one Saturday only. And so when I asked him the question, I said, so would you be willing to, so are you willing to support any legislation that will limit or take away from what we have presently? He again brought up the 2011 bill, which clearly pulled us back for a whole week. I don't know if he realized that or not, that we got 2 weeks of early voting already, and what he's going to do will limit it to an extra week. But then maybe he didn't, because you know it's the Republican way to want to go out there and try to double speakers and talk over our heads and try to sound like they know more than we know, but not pay attention. The Democrats love facts. We don't screw with them. We don't twist them around. We just tell you what you said. But that being the case, he definitely believes that we should limit voting. I mean, they talk about building on the Constitution, support the Constitution. We got to defend the Constitution, and they talk about the love of the Republic. Well, the Republic works better when people are participating in the Republic. What's bad about that? McCain was bad about it. When the people that don't vote for you want to participate in the Republic, that's bad. That's what we mean by voter suppression. When you know you've mistreated groups of people and those people are likely to go out and vote, guess what? You don't want them to go vote, because if they do, you lose. Point blank, period. And that's what's fixing to happen here in Georgia. Georgia is fixing to go blue because the Republicans have ticked off so many different people. If it ain't for ethics scandals, it's for just being liars. And I'm not pointing out anybody in particular, but think about it. They got every kind of bill out there in the world that actually limits rights of Americans in the whole idea that they're defending the Constitution. You got the governor of Georgia talking about going in and taking over local school boards, when the Georgia Constitution clearly states that we have home rule, that you get local politics and local people get to pick the kind of control their local entities. And now, I guess because the people of Georgia are not going by the same beat of the drum, the governor's not talking about, well, I just take over education. And education is the first thing, people, you always go after. You go after education. Because if people don't understand it, they're not educated, you can take them out. But that's Georgia. That's why we're the most corrupt state in the union. You have religious freedom bills floating around, which is supposedly, you know, supposed to strengthen the religion in the state, this, that, and other, but don't we have a First Amendment? Also, we have a First Amendment to the Constitution that, one, protects the freedom to practice your religion. Two, it prohibits the government from establishing a religion. Now, I understand that a lot of my fellow Christians out there feel like they feel like we're being persecuted. Well, I got this to say. The Bible says so. It says that we as Christians, we'll be persecuted, that people will come after us. But, honey, child, please, nobody's come after American Christians yet. They might be people getting chopped off overseas, and that's where we're going to spend foreign policy dollars. Let's go over there, humanitarian missions, and stop people from slaughtering folks for religious reasons, not taking one side or another, just splitting them up. And putting that stuff to a stop to that type of stuff. But, no, we feel like we've been persecuted. There's a war on Christmas. There's a war on Christians. Christians are just being attacked. But at the same time, who controls most of the legislatures in the country right now? The Republicans. Who controls one house of the national legislative branch? The Republicans. Who claims to have the pulse of the Christian right in the palm of their hands? The Republicans. So you mean to tell me that you control the majority of the governments, And then here in Georgia, you control, here in Georgia, we also control the legislature and every state constitutional office it is. And so you mean to tell me that you control the government, but yet you can't, that you're being persecuted. The same people that are governing are being persecuted. Something is stupid about that. That's an oxymoron. It is no way you can be the governing body and persecuting yourself or allow persecution of your own people when you have the power and authority. That is bull, and they know it, and all of the Religious Freedom Act is all about is about crushing minority religions and minority points of view. It is not even necessarily protecting Christians. It's protecting a certain sector of Christian thought. I mean, it's basically the view so they can shove pro-life down our throats, shove anti-homosexual, you know, legislation down our throat without being held accountable for just being mean-ass people. Just it. You know, we have a choice to make. You know, and I like that I would say it a million times. And yeah, I just said ass, and I'm a Christian. But I can tell you this. You won't catch me discriminating against anyone. You won't catch me go out there saying, well, you know, just because you're Republican, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. I'm going to leave you out. I'm not going to participate. None of this craziness that goes on, I'm not going to be, I won't have anything to do with it. I mean, so let's really have some serious talks about these people. You know, really, seriously, freedom, religious freedom, First Amendment. But the same people who are supporting that bill in Georgia were some of the same people who back in 2012 was pushing SB 469, which was another attempt to gut the First Amendment by limiting people's right to protest and picket. But nobody want to talk about that. They also for the Constitution. The only thing they care about in the Constitution of the United States is the Second Amendment. And I have no problem with the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. I do believe that people have the right to bear arms, and that should be, you know, that we should have a well-regulated militia. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. So if you believe any laws that are made to make that seem to be harder or more difficult, why does that same litmus test doesn't take place when it comes to the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America? Why does that same litmus test doesn't take place when it comes to the 13th and 14th Amendments to the Constitution of the United States? Why doesn't it take place to every other amendment that we have? Why does that same litmus test does not take account? It's because the Republican Party and the conservatives are full of shit. And they know it. They are here getting ready to start something. We let them take control of our government. It is going to be hell to pay. Because, one, you got two factions that will not get along together once they take power. You got the religious right, and you got your oligarchs banding together now to try to take out liberals and progressives. If they ever was the economy that go, I promise you the religious right and the oligarchs will not be able to get along. Because there's some things about making money just not pious. They fooling each other. It is up to us, all the rest of us Americans, independents, libertarians, progressives, liberals, conservatives who have sense, to take and put a stop to this wildness. I mean, it's just crazy. You can't figure out any way to even look at that. I mean, you have in Georgia, you have all these different situations that are becoming national issues because people are shocked that this is the 21st century and that this is the birthplace of Martin Luther King, the one of the birthplaces of the civil rights movement, and we have the new Jim Crow attempting to encroach itself in a manner that is just unconscionable. We have to make sure that we do one thing, and there's only one thing we can do, And let's go out and vote. Now, a lot of people are pushing, let's go register more voters, let's go register more voters, let's go register more voters. Over the last two election cycles, we voted and registered record numbers of people. And I know particularly in my part of Georgia, we're still seeing low turnout. So that means there's a lot of people out there registered to vote that are not voting. Register more people to vote, but we need to take and find those that we've registered that haven't voted yet and get them to go out there and vote. They did not complete the duty when they signed their registration card. We need to get them into the polls. They will feel a lot better. You'd have been and did something for the Republic. You'd have did something that will make you feel like a better person. We must get our people out to vote. Registering is good, but if they don't get to that ballot box, it makes no difference. We can register all 200,000 of those people who was said that would have taken Obama over the top in 2012. We can get those people registered, but if they don't go to the ballot box and they don't check the names on the machine, guess what? It doesn't matter. And we will continue to be a laughing stock of the country because then we'll be like, okay, they had all these different situations. We had voter fraud allegations, you know, suppression of the vote, this, that, and the other. But then they got all this done and people still didn't go to vote. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves if that scenario comes put to play. And on November 5th, we wake up and we see low turnout, particularly amongst the targeted groups in which we're trying to get out to go vote. The 23rd of this month is National Registration Day. People get out there. Get them out there to vote. October 6th is the last day to register people to vote. After that, all you people who are big on voter registration need to become GOTV people because you want to see your job get finished. You want to make sure that we go out there and make it happen because we can turn Georgia blue or at least purple if we get our voters out. We need to find those issues, talk to these people, let them know, hey, that this counts. Politics, you may not be interested in politics, but politics is interested in you. Need to make it happen. There's no excuse for why we in Georgia cannot have a government that properly represents the people of the state of Georgia. We got wonderful candidates like Jason Carter, Michelle Nunn, Valerie Wilson, Daniel Blackman, Liz Johnson, Connie Stokes, Doreen Carter. We can name them all down the list in my part of Georgia. We got Bob Trammell. We got Cynthia Bennett. We got Brian Rosen. We got Debbie Buckner. We got lots of people in my home county. We got folks like Jerome Offer, good, solid Democrats who want to serve. And guess what? They're just not trying to push a Democratic agenda either. They want to represent all the people of Georgia. They're not particularly pushing that type of agenda, but guess what? If we don't go out and vote, we're going to have people who are looking to push an agenda for a certain group of people, for a certain subset. They're not here to represent us all. They're just clean, pure and simple. You can look at the things that they're doing, the things that they're saying, the bills and stuff they support, even look at the people they stand next to during election season. How many of my local Republican politicians all smoothed up to Jack Kingston? Obviously, they got a loser mentality off of the bat. You ain't even in touch with 51 to 52% of your population already. You done lost touch with because you were standing next to that joker. Yeah, you know who you were. You were standing next to Jack Kingston. All y'all who was endorsing the rule, your guy lost. So you need to get used to that feeling because that's the feeling that you're going to have on November 5th. Because you got a loser's mentality. You don't have the interest of all the people of Georgia in your heart. It's just not there. And if you believe that you do, come on my show. Call. Say something. 657-383-0995. I dare you. One of y'all pick up the phone. Make a call. Tell me how you really feel. Because the thing is that we know here in Georgia there is a chance. That's why Brian Kemp is losing his mind up there and calling an investigation for 25 incomplete forms that he had already been told existed. But, oh, he got some complaints out of some counties. And I want y'all to go back and pay attention to those counties in which he did. When you got Muskogee, DeKalb, Gwinnett, and look at some of the races in these counties that they're talking about. There's some real close Democrat races taking place in those counties. I want you to pay attention to that. It is just not a coincidence, or as my mother would love to say, coinkydink. Is not one of those. It is a planned strategy to hold key seats, to knock out key races, and to do a repeat of the Quitman 12. I mean, which that's a whole other story that I really want to. I'm gonna get in depth with y'all probably next week, just as we sit there and talk about as we get into this voter strategy, the Quitman 12. A lot of people don't realize that there was a major voter registration effort and get out the vote effort in Brooks County in 2012, which showed that if you get out and register people to vote and you go out there and get them out to vote, that you can make a difference, because they took and turned the tide of what their school board looks like down there. Some people didn't like it. So they decided to take and misinterpret the law and put people in jail. This is America, 2014, another trial going on right now in South Georgia over people registering and pushing very hard for people to get out the vote. What is that? That sounds like some stuff that Jimmy Carter go overseas to observe. That's the kind of stuff that the Carter Foundation goes overseas to observe. We're going to have foreign observers and to come into Georgia and pay attention to our elections. Yeah, we might need that. Somebody call the UN, tell them to come put some blue helmets around our polling places, because it's going to be just some shenanigans. If they can't stop us, they can't get us at voter registration. If they can't stop us at GOTV, then they're going to do. I don't see them tampering with the voters' boxes this year. I don't see that just yet. But if we don't win, they're definitely going to wait until they get into the legislature in January, and they're going to put it to us. They're going to put it to us. Why? Because we're not paying attention. It is war. You see, AJC put it out there very clearly this morning that the battle lines have been drawn and there's going to be some very tight races out there this year. We need to get out. Pump up your candidates. Knock on the doors. Get your people out ready to vote. Do it. Go out there. I mean, talk. We ain't got time. We ain't got time to play. Our future's at stake. And I mean this with all seriousness, our future's at stake. And this is Scott Smith with Down South and Dirty, and we're going to be back in a few moments. Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith, episode 7, and we're going into our last stretch of our show today. Now, we have talked about foreign policy, a little national and the local politics, and we all understand that it's very important for us to go out and vote this election cycle. But let me tell you, there's a couple of things that we need to, I'm going to go back and cover a couple of dates so that we can be on the same page. One, you have September 23rd coming up. That is the National Day of Registration, National Voter Registration Day. If you live in Georgia, there's a very cool thing you can do. If you have an iPhone or an Android-powered phone, you can actually go download an app. My Voters. I just downloaded the app today, and you can take and actually use this. And I'm going to tell you, you can do this because the Secretary of State of Georgia said you could do it. The app is actually called Georgia Votes. It's an app. You can get it free out of the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store. You can download it, and you can register people to vote right then and there. You no paper, no nothing. All you got to do is put in the numbers that we need to have for the driver's license identification number, and they register to vote. And Brian Kemp said in a meeting he had or some gathering he was talking about where he was, you know, talking about how minority voters, if Democrats, you know, get the minority voters registered, which we're trying to do, we can win this thing. So he told the Republicans This is what you need to do. You need to download this app, and everybody need to register one brand new Republican voter. That's what he told them. So I'm going to make a challenge. We're going to call it the register. This is better than the ice bucket challenge, people. Register a voter. I want you to register a voter. Then I want you to take and go online and tell me that you registered a voter. We're going to take and do this. Go on Facebook. Go on your Twitter and say, I registered a voter. And I want you to put a D beside it when you're a Democrat. I want you to put a D beside it. Okay, I registered a voter, D. Okay, in parentheses. However y'all want to do it, hashtag D. I don't care. But we're going to do the I registered a voter challenge. So you take your smartphone, tablet, or whatever, even from your computer you can do it. You can register folks to vote online. They talking about doing, and instead of us taking getting one, we need to do two. Everybody register two people. Get your two. If they register one, we get two, we still ahead of the game. That's what we need to get in touch with. And we got to October 6th to make it go down. We need to get out there, push voter registration, and get out the vote effort. If you have a local county party in your area, find out what's going on with them. Go out there, get involved. We need volunteers to man offices. We need volunteers to do all kinds of things to help get out the vote, make phone calls, knock on doors. We need volunteers. Every campaign out there needs somebody. Just don't sit there. If somebody come knock on your door from a campaign and ask you some questions, you need to ask them a question. How can I volunteer? That's what you need to do. Join this movement. Go out there and get people out to vote. If when your neighbor see you making action, your neighbor's going to take action. Because nobody likes to be left behind with some cool going on. Everybody wants to be a member of the Cool Kids Club. Join the Cool Kids Club. Let's turn Georgia blue. Register, volunteer, get out the vote. Matter of fact, I got something better for you, better than that. You can go out there, and it's a wonderful thing. We need to organize. We need to register. Then we need to go vote. Then we need to do it all over again. We need to organize. Register, get them, go vote, and do it all over again. Make it a habit, even in the off year, because guess what? Next year, y'all think, oh, it ain't election year next year. Yeah, some of y'all got city council races, this, that, and the other coming up, and those are just as important, too. You need to also, after we get these people registered to vote, we need to educate them. We need to let them know, hey, this is who was out there, because they swear, we ain't got educated voters listening to, Senator Miller. We don't have, educated voters, even though I know that's a lie, but that's because you're going to educate them. We're going to educate them. We're going to let them know what the issues are. We're going to let them know who the candidates are and why it is in their best interest to vote for a Democrat. That's what we need to do. Also, you need to be out there trying to get in, like I said, get in touch with your local parties, your local candidates. If you belong to a civic organization, have them hook up. The civic organization in itself, according, because, some 503Cs can't, be involved in certain types of political speech, this, that, and the other. But you as individuals can get together and say, hey, we're going to go do something. Announce it at your meeting. Hey, there's a volunteer event over here. Instead of you trying to organize it, go with a group that's already trying to organize it, your local Democratic Party. Hey, they need your support. You'd be surprised how most counties that I know will be more than glad to see you here. I know here in Troop County I will be glad to see people come out and help out. And I'm going to put that out there. Troop County, if you are listening and you're from Troop County, we meet tomorrow. The Troop County Democratic Party meets tomorrow at 6 o'clock at the William Griggs Center. Let that happen. Come out. We're going to be talking about voter registration and getting out the vote. We're also going to be talking about planning on a couple of events we will be having during the week and on the weekends to help you have volunteer opportunities. It is very important that we get our people out and we go vote and that we educate these people before we send them out. Be a part of the winning team. Come out for Big Blue. This is what we need to do. With that, I don't have any callers. Be nice if somebody was to sit here. I know y'all listen because I see the number tick up. And I know a lot of you will come back and podcast. And so if you have questions, You can always reach me at Scout Smith on Facebook or Scout Smith Live at live.com, my email address. You can also make comments at the Blog Talk site in which you will be listening from. If you got show ideas, something that I'm not talking about, something you don't want me to talk about, so that I make me want to talk about it, that is some things you can do to get interactive with the show. With that being said, we ain't got nothing else to really talk about. I'm going to go ahead and call it a day, and it was wonderful talking to y'all. Keep it down south. Keep it dirty. This is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith. Have a good evening. See you next week.